everybody here. So stay in tune, cause it's gonna be Flair this afternoon.
Things will really be jumping around here today as Flair will be jumping all over for its reports. Our first number is by Betty Walker, and she's dialing it right now.
Time for another telephone from that gal we know so well. It's that talker, Betty Walker, courtesy of Alexander Graham Bell.
Hello?
Hannah. Hannah Hunkel. Well, no, I was calling you to tell you I'm not coming.
Oh, Hannah, I am... Hannah, wait, don't get angry, Hannah. Let me tell you what happened. We went to my mother-in-law's tonight for supper.
Yeah.
We all came home. Hannah, am I sick? Oh, Hannah, Let me tell you what happened, but let it be confidential. You know, Warren's mother, who, you know, they didn't have the proper dentist when she was a kid. Yeah, no, upper and lower. So, anyhow, she made a soup. Yeah, and it's her favorite soup. She cooked it with her whole heart, love. And she couldn't feel how much pepper she was putting in because, I don't know, evidently you don't taste pepper when you got that kind of thing. Hold it 1 minute. Chicky! All right, Warren. Chicky, give Daddy another pitcher of water. Hello, Hannah. So we can't be, I'm all over peppered. Yeah. Oh, it hurts. It hurts? No, I feel like there's a whole pogrom in my mouth. Okay, Hannah, dear, I'm very sorry. Next time I have to come to your house, I won't eat my mother-in-law's soup. Okay, yeah. All right, Hannah, accept my apology, but don't tell anybody, please, what happened. Warren wouldn't like it either. Okay, darling, bye.
Find yourself being monstrous to your little monster, there's no one like Boris Karloff to come up with a solution.
Boris Karloff, Boris Karloff, he will tell you what to do. If your baby or your children are bewildered to you.
This is Boris Karloff, and the scene I'm about to sketch for you is, I suspect, a familiar one in roughly 99% of all households where children dwell. It's home from school time. Seven-year-old Billy, who really knows better, dashes in, tosses his jacket on the dining room table, and streaks upstairs to show his pal Joe a new plane model. Billy's mother puts the jacket away, but not without a silent to herself protest against the rank injustice of it all. For the rest of the day, she's cross with Billy, bawling him out over trifles. But do you recognize the picture? If so, you might be interested in some authoritative advice on how to alter it a bit. First, try to remember that in a child's mental list of things he wants to do after school, hanging up a coat ranks about 500th. If he usually does hang it up, then mother might do it for him this one time. But if hanging up the jacket is going to make her feel like a martyr, better to call Billy right away or when Joe leaves and tell him to do it. In other words, do not turn the other cheek if it's going to put you in a fit of pique. And incidentally, mothers, that's good advice in relation to husbands, too.
Right you are, Boris. Here's Barbara Streisand, who says she's keeping out of mischief now.
Keeping out of mischief now. I really am in love and how. I'm through playing with fire. It's you see. You're the only one for me. I have told them in advance. They can't break up our romance. Living up to all my vows. 'Cause I'm keeping out of mischief now. Out of mischief now.
Allison reports that some gifts can be very expensive to receive. What else besides a charge account at Tiffany's?
Fran Allison, your next junk player today. Where have you been? Who have you seen? And what do you have to say?
I got to thinking the other day, as I usually do after some festive occasion, like a birthday, about the cost of gifts. And I don't mean the cost of giving them. I mean how expensive it can be to receive some of them. I'll tell you what I mean. Say, for example, someone gives you a set of the most beautiful demitasse cups you've ever laid eyes on. Well, right off, you realize that to be able to use them, you have to go right out and buy a pound or so of after-dinner coffee. The ordinary kind that's in your kitchen cabinet just won't fill the bill. Then after you've bought the coffee, you realize that the directions call for a special kind of pot, a kind that naturally you don't have. Purchase number two. So much for the making of the coffee. You still have the problem of serving it. A special, small demitasse pot, a new tray to put it on, tiny spoons, and, of course, the small sugar and creamer to match. Before you're finished, you've run up quite a bill, only to find the first time you serve it to guests that they much prefer their coffee to be the regular type served in a large cup. And I've noticed that the same sort of thing can happen with even the simplest gifts. A new scarf that doesn't quite match anything in your closet can start you on a shopping spree that isn't finished until you've acquired a new dress, shoes, gloves, and hat. So much as I love to open presents, maybe it would be best for my budget if in the future, just remember my birthday with a card.
Thanks, Fran. Dick Van Dyke here. You know, I just heard about a farmer who bought a horse at the state fair and then discovered it wouldn't eat or drink. The farmer said to himself, "By golly, now if he'll only work, I've got myself a bargain." But you don't need a horse like that to get yourself a bargain. No, sir. All you need is flare-ups. Flare-ups is flair in print. It's full of flair features on every imaginable subject and some that aren't imaginable. The articles and anecdotes you read in flare-ups are by your favorite flair personalities. Lots of flare-ups readers keep the current issue in the kitchen for quick reference to the recipes and the menu suggestions. Others look forward to new ideas on child care and medical progress. Whatever you're most interested in, sooner or later, you'll learn more about it in flare-ups. And the best part about it, flare-ups is free. It doesn't cost anything. To start getting it, send your name and address to flare-ups, ABC Radio 7 West 66th Street, New York 23, New York. Flare-ups, ABC Radio 7, West 66th Street, New York 23, New York. On this day in 1775, Paul Revere was earning his pay up around Boston. 188 years later, the Ray Ellis Chorus and Orchestra are earning theirs on flair.
Do 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 believe in you. I believe in
Lifesaver Alan Prescott has some tips about cars. I wonder if he can use my new slogan. When you drive, make sure only your car's gassed.
Oh, please, Alan Prescott, oh, what'll I do? My house is all problems just waiting for you. From a squeaky door to a broken shelf, won't you help me now? To help myself.
Hello, girls. This is Alan Prescott, the Lifesaver for Flair. In order to keep you from coming out second best in your own little coal war, here's a slight supply of ammunition. The next time someone sends you cut flowers, in the first place, give yourself a pat on the back, and then be sure and remove any of the leaves that will be underwater in the vase. These leaves rot and poison the water, besides smelling not pretty good. This much trouble on your part will make the flowers last longer. Don't let them die on you, no telling when it'll happen again. Take care of the new license plates on your car by giving them a couple of coats of shellac. Let the first coat dry, of course, before you apply the second. This treatment will leave your plates unrusted and readable. This is an advantage, I suppose, unless your driving calls for anonymous license plates as you careen and crash through traffic. While your car is still brand new and you care enough, put a couple of sections of inner tubing on the inside frame of the garage door. This is a great protection for your fenders when you aim at the garage when you come home from Maud's cocktail party driving side saddle. Small design for living. Let him win the argument, and then it's most likely that he will do as you please.
If you've ever invented anything other than excuses, here's Michael Fitzmaurice with a special report on patent.
Presenting
something really quite important.
Be as quiet as you can. Here's a special Flair Extra from none other than...
This is Michael Fitzmaurice with advice on how to live better, how to have more fun, how to get more for your money. Ever think of yourself as an inventor? Well, you may be and not know it. Maybe you rigged up a device for shining shoes, or you've discovered something that works better than a safety pin or keeps a zipper from sticking. If your husband spends a lot of time in his shop, maybe he's come up with that better mousetrap the world is waiting for. Any of these useful gadgets may be saleable for good sums of money if they're really new or improved. But the invention won't belong to you unless you get a patent, and manufacturers won't discuss your ideas until you apply for one. Getting a patent is time-consuming and expensive. You will need a patent attorney, about $400 in cash, and patience. It takes about 3 years to get a patent. But if you do want to patent that improved vegetable peeler or whatever, here's a way to save time and money. Write to the U.S. Government Printing Office in Washington and ask for a list of publications on patents and inventions. For less than $2, you get several booklets that will give you all the information you need. By the way, if your better mousetrap calls for putting a tinkling bell around the neck of one mouse to scare others away, you'd better go back to the drawing board. That idea has already been patented.
Thank you. sensible.
Let's just start falling in love. Let's.
Nature expert Ivan Sanderson tells us what the weather was like 8,000 years ago. How do you like that? Now they're rerunning weather shows.
This is Ivan Sanderson for Flair. There is something that's interested me for many years, and I'm sure almost all of you must have read about it. That is the method of dating past history by the rings inside trees. As trees grow, every season when they start to grow again, when their leaves come out, they put on another ring of growth inside the log, as it were. Now, scientists long ago found out that by counting those rings, you could tell how old the trees were. And then you'd find one tree which you'd go back perhaps 1,000 years, you find another one, you could link it up and go back and back and back. But recently, some rather horrible discoveries were made, notably that sometimes some tree will put on two rings in one year instead of one. And at first, botanical scientists were very upset. They thought this is going to throw this whole method of dating out. But that has been organized, and something else has been discovered along the line. And this is the way I think scientific discovery goes. In clearing up one mess, they came to something else which was even more useful. We can now tell from the dating, due to these rings inside trees, exactly what the weather was as much as 8,000 years ago. We can tell if there was a dry season in a particular year, if there was an extra long winter, or if there were little shifts in our general weather. And I think that is one of the most remarkable discoveries of the modern age, particularly in the much neglected science of botany.
Thanks, Ivan. It's the right time for the sarong girl, Dorothy L'Amour.
We're very sure that Dorothy L'Amour can travel with a flair. She'll do the job, even minus Bing and Bob, on the road to anywhere.
This is Dorothy L'Amour for Flair. Say, do you remember how as a child the name of some far-off place would stir your imagination and start fabulous pictures dancing before your eyes? And then as you grew up, if you had occasion to see these same places, they were nothing like you had imagined them. I can remember hearing the words Hong Kong, and immediately the mystery of Fu Manchu, the glamour of Anna May Wong, the excitement of busy streets and the hot sun that shone only on Mad Dogs and Englishmen flashed across my mind. And do you know what? Hong Kong is exactly that, only perhaps a little more so. It has everything. Magnificent scenery, efficiently run hotels, pleasant beaches, and the tastiest cooking in the world. Shopping in Hong Kong is the end. Not only is it the largest free port in the world, but if you enjoy bargaining as much as I do, you'll find it's an ideal place for give-and-take shopping. Through all of my shopping excursions, I got to know my way around pretty well. In fact, so much so that Hope and Crosby appointed me official guide for our stay there. The city never sleeps, and I don't think we did either. At night, the neon streets become alive with sing-song sounds, and although there are plenty of taxicabs, Bing and Bob decided that we should travel the way most of the Chinese population does. So they had me pull them around in a rickshaw. Seriously, though, Hong Kong is filled with excitement and richness, and it's one road that you'll never regret taking.
Meanwhile, out in the Flair kitchen, ingredient blender David Wade is all set to give us another stirring performance.
He's the Rembrandt of the kitchen and the Edison of the cookbook. He has the praise of gourmets everywhere. It's David Wade and recipes made with a flair.
Recently, while visiting in Japan, I heard a Japanese gentleman state that most young Japanese ladies today wish to marry early, live in a Western-style home, and eat Chinese food. Now, about Chinese food, we have heard that the ingredients consist of snakes, shark fins, fermented eggs, and bird nests. Such out-of-the-way ingredients as these have given many housewives in our country the impression that Chinese cooking is too strange and difficult to undertake. But here is a delightful Chinese recipe for Chinese shrimp and rice that can be commanded by any kitchen technician. First, fry 2 cups of chopped cooked shrimp in 1/4 of a cup of marjoram for about 1 minute, stirring constantly. Next, add 2 eggs that have been lightly beaten, 1/4 of a teaspoon of sage, a little salt and pepper, and simmer over medium heat for an additional 5 minutes. Continue stirring during this cooking time. Next, add 4 cups of boiled rice and 2 tablespoons of soy sauce. Now fry this mixture for an additional 5 minutes. Garnish this recipe with chopped scallions. Flair Living and bon appetit. This is David Wade reporting from Dallas. For a copy of this recipe, together with all of our recipes, just write to Flair, Post Office Box 217, New York 23, New York. That's Flair, Post Office Box 217, New York 23, New York.
Delhi correspondent Charles Arnault reports on the difference between American and Indian women. Well, there must be quite a bit. How do you passively resist a masher?
A little traveling music for Charles Arnault. Fool-a-Masia from Asia, but we don't know if he'll dally in New Delhi or be bygone to Saigon. A traveling man, that's Charles Arnault.
Is there really any difference between women, say, in New Jersey and women here in India? That's a question I've been saving for the Flair Show for a long time, and today I'm pitching it right at a young woman from Englewood, New Jersey, who is writing and taking pictures on a world tour. Her name is Carol Goldstein. She's 25, attractive, and observant. Carol, just what is the big difference between Indian women and women in America?
There are many differences, Charles. Indian young women, for example, take great pride in the fact that they have college educations. But when I ask them what they're doing now, the answer is nothing. After graduation, Indian women just sit home and wait for their fathers to find them suitable husbands.
Well, I can't imagine that happening in America. Well, Carol, what would you say is the goal of the young Indian woman today?
All Indian women feel that marriage and the raising of a family is their entire role in life.
Have you found a big difference in the way Indian young women meet their husbands?
Indian women do not meet their husbands. Their husbands are found for them. A majority of the marriages here today are still prearranged by the male members of the family. There is no dating system in India such as we have in the United States.
And there you have it, the big difference today between Indian women and American women, from Carol Goldstein, a young American now visiting India. Charles P. Arnault, ABC Flair, New Delhi.
you through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.